Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Derry Township Board of Supervisors meeting. It's our regularly scheduled meeting for Tuesday, September 12th, 2023. It's approximately 7:05 p.m. The board did meet an executive session beginning at 6 p.m. tonight, and so I apologize for the delay, but we went right up and right over our time limit before this meeting. So we concluded the executive session around 7:02 p.m. With that, I'm officially calling this evening's meeting to order, and I'd ask everyone to rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Crispin, would you please conduct the roll?
Certainly. Supervisor Zamuda.
Here.
Supervisor Corrado.
Here.
Supervisor Knight.
Here.
Supervisor Wyckoff.
Here.
And Supervisor Abruzzo.
Here.
There are five present, Mr. Chairman.
All right. As all members of the board are present, we have a quorum, and we will move forward with the business of the meeting. The first item on our agenda is, as it always is, our visitor or public comment session. So during that session, we invite any member of the public to come up to the podium. We ask that you state your first name, last name, and your address. That's the benefit of the stenographers taking meeting minutes. It's very important that we know who is speaking and that the proper attribution is being given to the appropriate speaker. So, normally we offer about 3 minutes to each speaker, so I ask that you try to, you know, make your point as succinctly as you can. If we get to around the 3 minute mark, I'll just sort of gently nudge you to finish up, but we welcome all public comment. And sort of the housekeeping that dovetails into public comment is that although it's posted within the meeting room in various locations, I'd just like to advise all persons attending the meeting that it is and has been the policy of the township to tape record on public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. What you say is recorded. The stenographers use that in order to make sure the meeting minutes are accurate. And because now we're in the well into the 21st century, our meetings, the audio version of our meetings, are also available on our website. And so it is important, really, to make sure that people know that they're going to be on our website and people will be able to hear the things that you say. So it shouldn't matter. I just offer that as a neighborly advice. So with that, anyone wishing to address the board can do so now.
Good evening. My name is Mark Ofstack, and I live at 147 West Governor Road, Hershey, PA, 17033.
Just make sure that button is pushed.
Maybe repeat it?
Yes.
Do a lot so everybody can hear.
Yeah, repeat it just because we have to make sure everybody in the different corners can hear.
My name is Mark Ofstack, and I live at 147 West Governor Road, Hershey, PA, 17033. For everyone that arrived this evening after Mom and I did, you probably noticed two bags of trash sitting out here next to the entrance. And those bags of trash were collected on Sunday, September 3rd, at approximately 4:30 in the morning from the upper level of the parking garage at the Hershey Story. Now, this area had become a hangout for what I would term degenerates, just by judging by the trash they left behind. That does not include the trash they throw off of that into the train tracks. Plus, when they leave, they toss out along the major routes that they travel. I know that there's been a lot of discussion here, but we need more visitors to this community because we need to grow. What we don't need is more of that. That has become disgusting. And this did not occur like this 35 years ago when my parents purchased their home. This community has been going downhill steadily for 35 years. There is a general lack of respect by people in this community, people who visit this community, for rules, laws, and orders. They just don't care. They feel that they can do and say whatever they want, whenever they want, and it doesn't matter if there's any law against it. And it's time that this starts to change. This doesn't happen just here in this community. It's going on everywhere in this country and in this world. If we want to wonder why things are going so bad, we can just look at this as a prime example. We've heard many people stand at this podium to complain about traffic safety in this community, people speeding. It is quite dangerous for anybody in a car, on a bicycle, or walking to be crossing these streets, especially school children who have to walk and cross Togo Avenue. The speeds at which some of these people are traveling is ridiculous. When I pull up from Elm Avenue in the wee hours of the morning onto a street that's a 25 mile per hour street and I see no lights and all of a sudden I got lights climbing up my bumper, I know somebody is going well over 40 miles an hour. If anybody wants to question me, just come up and I'll take you for a ride one morning and you can see how people drive. It is pitiful.
Just ask you get close to wrap it up now.
I want to applaud Herco for the concert volumes. It's been quite enjoyable to be outside this summer. And the last thing I wanted to say was that what we need in this community is decent public transportation, something like it used to exist here when the trolleys ran, but a modern version. We don't need more pavement that PennDOT cannot pay for or this township. We need real meaningful public transportation that people will use. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you very much for your
comments. You're welcome.
Hello, my name is Meg Walter. I am the owner of Splat Family Art Studio, located at 1669 East Dairy Drive.
You can pull that microphone down, it'll be more comfortable. Yeah.
May I approach you with
sure.
My coming here this evening is because I have great concerns regarding public safety. And this has been going on a year now. So I'm going to give you a brief timeline, how you have details there, and I can assure you that I have additional documentation at my studio if you need it. And I have been working with Mr. Christman, and I've been working with Mr. Emmerich, and I've been working with Chief Warner for the past year. And I've gotten a great response rate, but it doesn't seem to be enough to be able to resolve the issues. So my property is neighboring 1715 East Chocolate Avenue, which is owned since March of 21, I believe it was. Sean Yu and Benson Chan bought the property with the intentions to open up a restaurant. The property has been, it's 2.5 years now. The property has not been well taken care of. My notes start on the first page. I have Cindy written. It's a voicemail that I received from a homeless woman. I came home. I also had worked last year part-time at Hershey Christian Academy, and I came home from teaching to find a woman sitting on my front porch. And when I went, and there was no car in my parking lot. There was no car that I saw in the parking lot next door. When I approached her on my front porch and asked her what she was doing there, she told me that she was looking for a break due to sleeping on the property at 1715 East Chocolate Avenue. I asked her if I could help her. I have a very helping personality. I wanted to invite her in for tea and a meal, and I just knew that wasn't going to be a good idea. I offered to call family, and when I told her she had to leave, she had an assisted wheel device for her leg. And she was going down my ramp and over to the other property, screaming, "Nobody will help me." So I called the police, and two police officers did respond. I'm hoping that they were able to provide social services for her. But she was camping out behind the back of that property. And when I was on the phone with dispatch, her pants were down, and she was urinating on the back of the property. The second page you'll see is that there was a tractor-trailer, a Volvo tractor-trailer, that felt that it was appropriate to park there overnight. I don't know where that person is supposed to be parking, but I don't think that it's on the the commercial property next to me. There was another evening around 10 p.m., a man pulled in, he got my attention, he was playing music, I looked out the window, and he was urinating in the shrubs. So this is how it started, and I started to bring these concerns with awareness. I was hearing things like, well, if they said he could park his tractor trailer there, then that's okay, you know, they can't do anything about it. So I came home again, this document, the beginning of January, to see, and I had seen vehicles parked back behind the building and thought, it doesn't seem, with all that parking, why do people have to be going behind the building? I saw a dad set up cones and do an obstacle course for his children. I saw kids skateboarding over there. I saw a man detailing his truck. Never did I think I need to call the police on that. It was like a park that wasn't being maintained, but it didn't seem like there was anything illegal going on, with the exception of the people that would gather behind. What you see there in that photograph is the photograph that I took from my window of my studio, and I called the police, and when they arrived 15 minutes later, all of these cars had left. I naively went running out because I thought, they're not going to believe me. They're not going to believe me. So I went running out with my phone to show them this photograph that I had taken. I was very keyed up seeing that when I was talking to dispatch. They wanted to know if there were any guns involved. I said, I don't know. She said, don't go over there. I'm thinking, I am not. That's why I'm on the phone with you. And it looked like there was a large party that was going on. I went to my security. I had a security camera in my main studio. I moved that security camera after the homeless woman and then to capture the truck and also this. This was 3 hours of people coming and going behind this building. I took the Ring documentation and I sent it to Sergeant Cotton. He had been a person I had worked with previously. There's an email in there. You'll see that documentation. I did not receive information back from him. The reason I have Jim Dill's contact information in there is because when I had worked with him back in 2017 regarding something else, these words have stuck with me. I do not believe in coincidences. Following that incident, I received a nail in the sidewall of my tire and a blade in the tread 6 weeks later. I've been driving for 41 years. I've never had a flat tire. I was on 322 on my rim. The next document that I have with you has to do with, so I didn't realize that Sergeant Cotton had retired when I sent this, and a month went by, and let me see if I have which order I have that in there. A month went by and I did not hear from him, which when I had worked with him before did not seem like his personality. So you can see here all the information that I had sent to him. And on 2/13 of 23, I had filled out the citizen's request form, and I have that information. Now, Mr. Crispin said that he never received that information. In the interim, I was also experiencing, and I have a letter here, which is an email that I had sent to my parents. This vehicle was showing up on the property. I had it in my mind that the police were doing their police business, and that this must just be somebody who's kind of watching after the property. When I'm telling my staff this, because we're being vigilant and looking at what's going on next door to make sure that our studio guests are safe, she came in determined that she was going to call the police and let them know about this vehicle that we didn't see once. We saw multiple times sitting in the same place. When the police approached him, he works at a local pizza shop, and the reason that he was there is he was trimming his mustache by the daylight. I told the police if he continued to trim his mustache hair, I would be calling him repeatedly. And they asked me why, and I said I would be concerned that he's a pedophile. There is no reason, if this person doesn't have business, that they need to be showing up in this parking lot. This picture that I have evidences that this truck kept showing up. The first time I saw it, it was running and facing my building, and I had children in my studio. I asked the children if it belonged to one of their parents. One of my staff members said, because the children said, what? And they went to the window, and my staff member said, does that car belong to your parents? No, my mom drives an Audi. It was not their parents' vehicle. After sitting there for about 20 minutes, it went out Miller Avenue the wrong way and went down in front of my building, just burning rubber. So that isn't a reason to call the police, but when they show up repetitively and they park in the same position with their vehicle running, then it is time to contact the police. And I show you here where I am. So I have been to the police department this day, and I talked to one of the officers about this truck. And I went for a walk down Dairy Road, and when I came back, that truck was there again. And so I was able to continue the conversation with the same police officer. But I am in the middle of the intersection taking this man's photograph, and you know what? He came back the next week. The bonus for that is I was able to get the license plate number the week he was there as a mad woman taking his picture in the middle of the intersection. And this is my staff member coming through identifying that this is the same vehicle repetitively being at that property. So when the police came back, they were able to get a driver's license and obtain his. And I have not seen him again, so I'm grateful for that.
So Ms. Walters?
I'm past 3 minutes.
Yeah, but I mean, I didn't want to cut you off. You're way, I know you're at 10 minutes, which is fine, but...
This is really important that we get this resolved. And sir, I'm going to keep talking about it to everybody who will listen until I get this resolved.
But it sounds like you've done the right things to bring your concerns to the police department, and at least on one occasion, property maintenance complaints.
The property owners need to be taking ownership of their property. Right now, the grass is overgrown. What they have right now for posting the property isn't working. I called the police on my way here because there was a red car parked on their property. On Saturday, two of my studio guests identified that there was a young man who walked onto the property by lifting the chain that said no trespassing and sat down on that property and pulled paraphernalia, what they believed was drug paraphernalia, out of the backpack and sat there and smoked. It's got to stop.
Well,
it's going to be a deterrent for my business,
yeah,
and it's a public safety issue.
I am sensitive to that, and I think that you made good points. You have a lot of good documentation. I don't think we can resolve it during this public comment session. I would just encourage you to keep working with the chief at the department, and certainly if there's property maintenance issues, you know, we should do whatever. I'm confident that Mr. Emmerich will make sure the property maintenance issues get addressed, because I think what you're saying we would all agree with, right? We don't want to turn that parking lot and that building shouldn't become sort of a haven for people to hide out at or do illegal things at.
And I have the evidence that says that they have been. And it's like it's landsliding backwards. And I also included in your packets communications between Sean and I.
Right.
And that was an opportunity that came forth because of Mr. Emmerich. He brought the two of us together. But if you read through the text messaging, you can see towards the end, like, he's not really caring. I sent him that his tree was down over a month ago. So what, it's my responsibility to report him?
Yeah, well, I think that, I don't necessarily, the chief is here, Mr. Emmerich is here, but I think that between the two of them, we'll make, to some degree, will rely on you reporting suspicious things you see. But on the other hand, there's things we can do with the landowner to help curtail some of that activity, or, you know, maybe all of the activity, we can certainly do. We can certainly try to encourage the property owner to do. If there are other things the property owner can do, we can certainly encourage that. Because we are sensitive to your point.
I appreciate
Mr. Emmerich, I would just leave that in your hands in terms of as it relates to the property owner. Maybe there is some outreach we can do to further convey our concern about how that property is being used by folks, and maybe there's some other things that the owner can do. We don't tell the chief how to do his job in the police department, but I'm absolutely certain that he'll make sure that they're vigilant in addressing any of the concerns that you and your staff have. We clearly want you to feel safe in your place of business and your home, if they're the same. So
yes. Thank
you for bringing it forward, and thank you for the materials. It was very helpful.
Thank you
to follow
for
up.
Listening, and if you need any additional information, I'll phone call away.
Very good. Thank you very much. Is there anyone else?
Dave Weaver, 214 Job Avenue. I'm not sure exactly how to approach this, but I am interested in working with the township, working with the board in making a donation of some trees or something. I've reached out to try to get some direction on who I would talk to, who I should meet to get something like that started. That's my first point, and I'm kind of on a related note. About a year ago, I was here talking about the area on the southeast corner of Cocoa and Chocolate that's been vacant for quite a while. Getting something going there. I have ideas. I have access to what I believe is potentially free design, free labor, that kind of thing. And it shouldn't have to be a six-figure or even a high five-figure dollar amount to try to do something there to get that more of an attractive area. So I'm interested in reaching out and working with somebody or a group within the township if I could get some direction there. And the last thing I wanted to ask about was if we could get an update on the silt fence in front of First Watch, why it's there 6, 7, 8 years, it looks new now, looks like a newer building. But anyway, I'm just curious if we can get an update on that.
So, yeah, well, thanks. We have had an update on that silt sock, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure we can get you one. Mr. Pembroke, as it relates to the trees, I know it probably between Mr. Jackson and Parks and Rec and Mr. Emmerich, Community Development, they're probably the two people that if you were interested in donating trees that would identify places where those trees could be planted. The property you're talking about across from the old community center building, which is the Hershey Theater type property, that property we did approved to sell back to the Milton Hershey Trust. So that property has gone back and forth in ownership over the years, and to your point, nothing has been done.
So it's entirely a trust property?
It will soon. It's going through the process. There are plans. The school itself and the trust have plans for that little parcel will enhance it and perhaps make it look more like a park than, of course, right now it's just.
Well, I'm sure.
But thank you for asking about it. I'll leave the rest. I'll leave
yeah,
it in
make
there.
A chance.
Yeah, but thank you very much. Is there anyone else? All right. Well, then we'll close this visitor public comment session. There's another one later in the meeting. And we'll move on to the agenda to item six. Item six is the consent calendar. There are A, B, C, D, four items under the consent calendar. If you have a copy of the agenda that was at the table, you can see what each of those agenda items are. The board can either take each one of those items separately and vote on them separately, or we can take one motion for all four items under the authority of a consent calendar item. So that is at the discretion of the board, where you can see what the items are that we would be discussing.
I move that the... Oh, I'm sorry, Chairman.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, so is there a motion from the board?
There is. I move that the board accept the consent calendar items A through D as outlined in tonight's agenda.
Very good. Motion is made by Mr. Wyckoff to approve all consent calendar items under one motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion is seconded by Mr. Corrado. Is there any discussion or questions about this motion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion for tonight's meeting, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. So all four of those items have been approved. That will take us to item 7 on the agenda, which is new business. First item under new business is A, it's the recognition of the top readers for Hershey Public Library's summer reading program. And Mrs. Jacobine is going to address this issue.
Thank you to our young visitors for waiting so patiently. The Hershey Public Library's annual summer reading program encourages children and adults to read throughout the summer to maintain reading skills, enjoy stories, and learn new information. This summer, 468 children read 324,725 minutes, participated in library programs, and discovered new interests. Reading during the summer is fun and helps students retain information learned during the school year. The readers we recognize tonight have discovered the value and love of reading, which they can benefit from throughout their life. The top readers of 2023 are Jameson Rabina, Jordan Rabina, Peter Ruggiero, Maxwell Dean, Arjavi Kandel, and please join me in congratulating our top readers of 2023. They now come to the front of the room.
Maxwell Dean.
This certificate of achievement is presented to Maxwell Dean. It's for exceptional reading achievement in the 2023 Hershey Public Library Summer Reading Challenge. Congratulations to Maxwell. I feel like it's like these kids have to come to the dentist. Please smile.
Mrs. Archibald, come down.
This certificate of achievement is presented to Arjuni Candel. It's for exceptional reading achievement in the 2023 Hershey Public Library Summer Reading Challenge. Congratulations, Arjuni.
Volunteers and other law enforcement professionals from around the world. Destination on September 15th will be the Pennsylvania State Police Academy in Derry Township. The run will enter Derry Township on Walton Avenue at about 1 to 1:45 p.m. Make a left on West Hirschberg Drive and then another left onto Police Academy Drive. The final leg of the run will be on Sunday, September 17th, as the torch will leave the Pennsylvania State Police Academy and travel to Hershey High School to light the cauldron for the opening ceremonies for Area M's Fall Classic event. This final leg will be a very small contingent of all people who will not require an escort or any traffic control measures. The run on the 15th will be escorted by various police motorcycles and officers who will also temporarily direct traffic as the run traverses these roadways and intersections.
All right. Any questions? Any questions for the chief on this item? And if not, may we have a motion?
I'll offer a motion that the request to permit the Special Olympics Law Enforcement Torch Run to traverse certain state and township roadways within Derry Township on September 15th and 17th, 2023, be hereby approved.
Motion made by Mrs. Nutt to approve. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Zabuda. Are there any further questions or any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
The next item on the agenda is C. It's an update on the Choctawtown Park Veterans Memorial, and that will be given by Mr. Crispin and Mr. Emmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the board is aware, the township is in the process of preparing to conduct a renovation for Choctawtown Park to include a new Derry Township Veteran Memorial. Additionally, the park itself will also be conforming to a new courtyard of honor for first responders and 911 pilot Michael Horrocks. Tonight, the administration, in partnership with HRG, will be discussing the proposed design and seek board authorization to proceed with the project as it's designed tonight, with the intent that the new Veterans Memorial will be dedicated on Memorial Day 2024. Enclosed in your packet tonight are copies of all of the plans that you're going to see tonight. And I'm going to turn it over now to Mr. Hemrick and Ryan Combs from HIG to kind of talk about the project itself. And I think Dave is here from Capital Construction Management. So to kind of bring the board up to speed with where we are, kind of the things we need, project budget, all of those great things. So.
Thank you. I'll overview what the design is looking like as it's presently proposed. It involves some sidewalk reconstruction of the public sidewalk, the oval inside the park, a connection down to the fire hall, and a relocated public section along Cocoa Avenue. Over the years, we've gotten a lot of concerns or complaints, maybe, of how close that sidewalk is to Cocoa Avenue and how you feel like the cars are right against you. So that'll be an added benefit of this project. This area where the catalpa tree is preserved, and that will be the area for the Veterans Memorial. We'll be reestablishing the three existing plaques, actually four if you count a smaller one, adding two plaques on pedestals along the southern side of the park. We'll have flags from each of the services in addition to an American flag and benches at each of the flags. As you follow the walkway down through, there's another little memorial area for to connect the two spaces. And then as we get down to the southern area adjacent to the parking lot, that is the project that is being forwarded through the Courtyard of Honor. Our project will account for stormwater management for their portion of the project, and we'll also build, you know, the sidewalk that I discussed along Cocoa Avenue. So if anybody has any questions on the design, certainly we have people here for that.
I don't have questions on the design, but so the board, you've seen this information in your packet. It's probably easier to see in your packet, but the design team did a very nice job. Where you see those green boxes, green squares sort of along Chocolate Avenue, Cocoa Avenue there at the top of this picture, those will literally be on the flags of each service, the American flag. There will be a bench. You can kind of see that the dark rectangle is a bench, so for folks that would like to sit and, you know, think or, you know, pray or do whatever, there's an opportunity for them to at least be seated and not have to bring their own chair. There will be landscaping in a way that helps sort of set the Veterans Memorial aside from the rest of the park. We're happy that people come visit the memorial, but we also want to make sure that there's a sense of decorum as you enter that Veterans Memorial. We intend to have the current plaques that we've had outside the plaza for many years will be located where Chuck has the cursor there. The plan has come together on the veteran side very nicely. What you'll also see if you go the octagon on the left is going to be the pavilion. So we're going to return, and the other people in this room may remember when we had a pavilion like that, a gazebo in Chocolatown Square Park. And there hasn't been one there for years. We're going to have that again. So the idea will be, we do want to honor the fact that we use that park for the township. We use that quite a bit for different kinds of gatherings. The Downtown Hershey Association uses that park for events. And we're going to continue to do that and make it a comfortable place. We're also trying very hard to not remove as many trees as possible. So that's important, because there's some really beautiful big trees in that park that we'd like that this design, I think, helps us accommodate. We're not talking really about the vet, the first responder, Michael Horrock's piece tonight as part of this design. That is being staged. What Chuck described to you with Veterans Memorial in the Park is what we refer to as phase one of this project, with the goal being that this is completed for Memorial Day of 2024, which is why we need action from the board tonight on this project so we can get moving. And the Michael Horrock's 9/11 First Responders Memorial, I think the design team there is planning like a 2026 completion date for what we'll call phase two. So the township is invested in this project. This board had indicated publicly in the past that we would support this project separate from the township board and our government is the Courtyard of Honor Foundation. That group is led by Randy McKillop, and he has a small board of directors, and they have been raising money around the community and other places to help pay for these memorials. They're not going to, they're in the process of raising money, but it will be a partnership in the sense that as they raise money, they will turn money over to the township in an appropriate sum so that we can complete the project, and then they will continue raising money for the set phase two. So at this point, we've hired HRG, and Ryan Cummins is here tonight, and he can speak to it. As can their other representative, but we've retained HRG to provide these design services and project management, much of the project management. We also, as this board recalls, retained Greg Kusitz from Pyramid Construction, right? Is that Pyramid or is he now, what is it, Capital?
Capital
Construction. So we do have a project manager, which we thought was important to make sure things move timely and on budget. So if you have questions for Chuck or Chris, this is a great time to ask. Mr. Corrado is part of this team with us, and feel free to ask.
A couple of questions. First, this looks very beautiful. I think that you had mentioned to us, at least on the board, that you've been speaking with all the veterans. So they're all on board with this and are excited about it and part of it.
The veterans group has blessed this design, and they're very happy that we're locating the memorial. Also, like you do that just totally. Just you never cough on anybody else. The veterans have also expressed their pleasure that their memorial will remain a veterans memorial, will not be combined with other groups. And that's primarily why you see the two projects. And so we're pleased too, and as we've said publicly, and they're very pleased to feel like this memorial will be in the heart of our community, which is really where it belongs. If it's a veterans memorial, we're honoring people that have fought for this country and made the ultimate sacrifice. It should be in the part of our community we consider the heart. And so they're very supportive of this, yes.
And I also wanted to confirm something. I think that we spoke about a few meetings ago, the last time we discussed this at a board meeting. And I believe that Mr. Chrisman has a separate fund for anyone that would be interested in donating to this project directly to the township. There's opportunities to donate directly here. You don't have to go through the nonprofit, and there's a separate account set up. Am I understanding that correctly? Maybe Mr. Chrisman can explain it a little bit better.
Yes, we set up a separate capital account just for this particular project. So if anyone is interested in donating money towards this cause, you know, we can take that money in through the budget, and then of course it would be expensed out through this specific line item for the park. So, you know, if people are interested, they can certainly do that. Feel free to reach out to me directly if you have questions. I'm happy to answer them if I can. But yes, to answer your question, we are prepared to be able to solicit funds for the project.
Thank you.
Sure.
And I should note that the courtyard, we have asked the courtyard. They've been raising money now, so they know there's an expectation that they will start transferring money from the foundation to the township, I think beginning in November, and then again before the end of the year. So we expect two transfers from them. The township has already, in essence, put up some of the money for the project to get it going. but we're expecting additional monies from the foundation very shortly. And we're aware of a number of people, I should say. There are a number of organizations have committed funds to the foundation, and so there are organizations within the township, and so we're excited that they are supporting the Veterans Memorial and the First Responders Memorial. But again, the foundation is separate from the township. They are their own entity. We don't control them. We were always going to do a veterans project once the Veterans Memorial was removed from where the old plaza was. Just the timing, it coincided, you know, as we were coming out of COVID, we were able to kind of put our attention back on things like that. So it's overdue. We're excited to get it done, and that's why we're really putting a push on to get it done Memorial Day, because it's been too long, in all of our opinions, that we haven't been able to honor our veterans.
Thank you. Well said. Chuck, I have a couple of questions for you. You mentioned stormwater improvements. What are you going to do, or what's going to be done with stormwater improvements?
I'm going to let Ryan, the stormwater guy.
Okay, Ryan. Thank you very much.
So I'm here tonight because I'm the project manager for HRG on this project, and we're kind of looking at it as wholesale. The previous volunteer fire department had an allotment of impervious, so that would allow us to reduce the amount of stormwater we need to do. And then in tandem with that, the pilot project of the pervious pavement for the parking lot adjacent to the fire department, it all contributes to the same location. So in that, we're at a big deficit before this project even happens. So it ends up being a wash. So really, stormwater management isn't needed for this project.
Well, those pavers that are going to be in there, they're going to allow water to go between them. So.
So the Veterans Memorial, as of now, it's still being determined whether that's going to be set on a concrete base just due to the engravings. But to manage stormwater, we're also going to put it at Courtyard Honor future pavers, that they would need to be permeable pavers to manage their stormwater there. Because the two projects that were done previously reduced any water coming off it. So there's a big deficit within this area already of water. So anything that we do on the park at this point, a lot short of paving the whole park, would be mitigated through those previous projects, which is still going to go through this typical stormwater approval process through the commission.
Thanks, Ryan.
I'm gonna just add to that a little bit graphically, because I don't know that Natalie and Carter were on the board when we did this parking lot project, but the areas that you see here with parking spaces are porous pavement and do capture stormwater. And that was part of our reconfiguration of the parking lot here. So that's the one area that Ryan was talking about where we've captured so much water there that it allows us to add the impervious on the other side. And then just to graphically show when the firehouse reconstructed, they did construct a rain garden behind their facility, which between the two accommodate the impervious area. So just to make it a little bit more graphic. I'm sorry, go ahead, Rick. Second question.
Okay. Ryan, the power lines that run between the firehouse and the property, the park property, what's the plan for those? Are they going to be buried, or is there was talk about burying them?
So that's still up in the air at the moment. Currently, we're working on getting pricing on what the difference would be, whether to relocate the pole. The issue becomes there's about five or six guy wires located right here that ultimately are right in the sidewalk's path. So one way or another, it needs to be moved. So we're working with PPL right now to get quotes on what it would take to move, which unfortunately PPL and then the other five utilities on the pole to get them all wrangled together. We know if we end up going underground, there is some underground conduit already installed, but that's going to be a lot more significant of a cost rather than relocating the pole to, I don't know if you can pull a plan up to show generally where we're thinking it's going to be relocated to if that's the approach. But at this point, we're still waiting on utilities to get back to us on those.
Okay. Do you think the odds are pretty good that that'll get done?
Relocation, yes. Underground, not.
Well, we had some talks with the trust, and just sidebar talks about it. They pointed out what an eyesore they were and how we'd like to get them buried. Maybe we'll pay for it, you know, that kind of stuff. So I was just wondering if there is a plan afoot to move in that direction.
Yeah, so the utility pole right now, I believe, is located somewhere right around here, and then the guy wires run down this way. The relocation would be somewhere generally in this location with the guy wires running down this way, but then we'd be planting some type of vegetation, you know, an evergreen tree, like almost a barrier tree, so it would be blocking the view of the overhead electric and utility poles from anywhere within the memorial. And then we'd also be planting a different type of evergreen hedges that would grow up that kind of help buffer that in this location. To get everything underground is going to be, I can say it's going to be, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, not...
It's only money, right? Yeah. I got two more questions real quick. Was there any consideration for keeping the stage that is there now? We just had it refurbished 2 years ago. Was there any plan afoot to do that? And why not?
So there is not. The original design that was done by Chris Brown, a landscape architect, on loan from Hershey Entertainment Resorts. And Chris has that area becoming more of a field area. We are retaining some of the old existing stone wall inset area just to carry that traditional Hershey bluestone through the park.
All right, I see what you're doing there. Okay. And one more question, maybe Mr. Chrisman can answer this. The one thing that always concerns me was the long-term cost of something like this. How are we going to pay for the maintenance of this? Because I'm old enough to recall the previous gazebo that was there, and it literally rotted away. It didn't appear that anybody was taking care of it. So I'm hoping and wondering that maybe this Heroes Fund is going to be able to cover the maintenance costs of these items.
That's part of it. I mean, that is part of the hope here, that there will be money coming continuously from the Courtyard of Honor Foundation. We've been told that they're going to continue to fundraise even after their memorial is built, because they want to try to raise sufficient enough funds to help offset the maintenance costs, as you've identified. Also, a good portion of it will be included as part of our annual budgeting process. So as we get further along into that process, as time goes on, to see what those costs are, we'll put money aside to make sure that things like a pavilion don't rot and fall away. You know, and of course, the materials that are being sourced for it, hopefully will have a longevity to them, that we built in such a way that we'll get a more useful life out of it than maybe we would have in the past. So a combination of those things would be township funds and hopefully continued donations from the Courtyard of Honor. However, if that would go away, it would become a township responsibility, 100%.
Okay. And Mr. Bruzzo, one quick question for you. Do you know how the public could buy papers? Has that been advertised yet?
I don't know how the public's going to. I mean, I know that Mr. McKillop, I feel like that's through the foundation. I can get that answer for you, though. But I don't think it's going to be through the township.
I know. I just want to try to get it out to the public somehow, so anybody out here would like to...
As we discussed, that's one of the reasons why we're looking at a concrete base for paper area, because that makes it extremely easy to pull out papers and replace them as they're sold.
Are they going to be literally glued into place, or they're just going to be dropped in?
I would guess sand set on top of the concrete.
Okay. Is there going to be some sort of drainage in there underneath, like on the concrete? There'd be like a grate or something underneath too. Because the water's going to permeate through those.
Yeah, we haven't worked out the exact grate yet to see, but the goal is to have it kind of just sheet flow across appropriately. But you know, given the catalpa that's out there and some of the other constraints, you know, we're still working through those details at this point.
I didn't mean to drag you through all that.
That's
all I got.
Any other questions? I do, before we are getting a motion. want to thank Dana Kleinpeter from CCM. I mentioned Greg Kousis, right? But Greg's not even, it's really you doing all the work, and you've done a great job leading these meetings and really handling the project management. So thank you, Dana, for doing that. And thank you for being here tonight. So with that, we do need a motion.
I'll make a motion. I move that the Board of Supervisors approve the plan presented this evening for the renovation of Chapeltown Park and authorize HOG to finalize all plans required to secure necessary permitting from other agencies as well, prepare bid packages for the Veterans Memorial.
All right, motion is made by Mr. Corrado. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion is seconded by Mr. Zamuda. Are there any further questions or any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Dana and Ryan and Chuck. The next item is D. It's the request for authorization to execute a cooperative services agreement with the United States Department of Agriculture for the mitigation of vulture activity in Derrick Township. Mr. Crispin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the board's aware, we have engaged with USDA in the past. I think the last year or so, we've had a cooperative service agreement with the department so that they can assist the township in trying to manage the American black vulture activity in the township. As you are aware, they are a protected species, and the township has a very limited a way to address those concerns with birds. So the USDA was the logical choice to kind of go to because they do have the ability to come in and try to manage the birds in a way that we can't. In addition to the township having a cooperative services agreement with the USDA, Hershey Entertainment and Resorts has a companion agreement with them as well so that they can operate on the property of HENR through the zoo. And at this point, it's a one-year agreement. We were here before you a little over a year ago. We kind of forgot that the agreement expired. We do budget annually for its $18,000 expenditure. We'll continue to do that as long as there's a vulture problem in Derry Township. Tonight, Tony Rowland is here from the USDA. He's happy to present some information to the board. If you have questions, maybe an update of where we've been and where we're going to with respect to trying to mitigate the flock as it stands today. So I'll open up to the board for questions.
I don't have any questions. Does anybody have any questions about this? How many of you want to come forward? Just in case. And could you just give us a little overview of the activity and what your observations are today about that flock, where it's going, where it's been, what do you see in the future here, near-term and long-term maybe?
Sure. The initial complaints came in around Zoo America and the neighborhood surrounding it. Black vultures were coming in, and they were actually roosting in the large trees there at the zoo. Through our efforts, we were able to harass them out of the zoo. They're no longer roosting there at night. And we're not seeing the numbers that we were even a year and a half, 2 years ago. We were seeing numbers of 150, 200 at a time. And now we're seeing numbers of maybe 20 to 50 at the zoo when we do our survey visits. They are still concerned for residents around the zoo and the zoo itself with their exhibit animals and so forth. So we've been able to do harassment efforts in the morning before the zoo opens and in the afternoons after they close. We've worked with Hershey, and they provided us with schedules of their tours that they have so we can be there when needed, with the exception of during the day when there's people actively visiting the zoo. But our management has been working. It's not finished yet. There's still residents that are seeing vultures and they're receiving damage. The zoo still has their disease concerns as well. So we're looking to renew the cooperative service agreement here to be able to continue to manage the vultures so that no longer the threat that they currently are.
Are you optimistic that down the road, and I recognize it's a process to get them to think differently and move.
Right.
Are you optimistic that we'll achieve that, or is that?
Yeah, we've done some research. We've captured and tagged 500 vultures from that area. So each vulture has its own unique tag number. It's usually two numbers and a letter on the green tags. So we've captured 500 in just over a year, and we've done some capture them, harass them, try to get them out of the area. And so we've been monitoring the vultures that are tagged and receiving calls from public that have been seeing them. And I'd say the vultures are not just from Derry Township. They're moving around quite a bit as well. So they've been seeing all around southeast Pennsylvania, into Maryland, West Virginia, a couple in New York. So they're moving around. So what we've learned basically is if you think you have 150, 200 vultures, you should probably multiply that number by three, or maybe five, as far as the number of vultures are actually using that site.
Tony, do you have any idea how many you've called?
Several hundred. No, we've called ones that tag birds that we've harassed multiple times and they still come back, and then we'll call those out of the population.
Tony, is this an issue that's pretty bad here in Derry Township, or are you seeing this in other places in Pennsylvania?
We're seeing it more and more in other places here in Pennsylvania, specifically south central Pennsylvania, where there's towns. I'm sure you've heard some of them in the news, Marietta, Lancaster County, and some other towns, even Dolphin County, Cumberland County, that are also having issues. So you're not the only township with problems with the black vultures, but it's unique in this township regarding the location and the zoo and so forth.
Are those other municipalities using your services as well, or are we the only ones?
No, some of them are, yeah.
Okay.
Are these birds in danger?
They are not endangered, but they are protected because they're migratory.
Mr. Crispin, our township, we're paying to contract with USDA, but HNR is also paying too, so it's not just us. They're sharing the burden of the cost of trying to mitigate this issue and the vultures along.
That's correct. Yeah, just like us, they have a vested interest in trying to get these birds to move along.
Yeah, Tony, it's clear USDA is doing your due diligence in this. Is there anything that the public can do to maybe mitigate the damage or?
Sure. Yeah, you could, report any tags that you see. If the public sees any of the green tags, they would be from birds captured right here in Derry Township. There's black vultures with other colored tags that were captured in other locations.
Do you say, is that outside the zoo area and neighborhood area there? Or?
As far as the green tags?
Yeah, you're saying, I go to the zoo on occasion, so if I walk in and see a green tag, should I?
Right. No, the zoo is keeping track of tag numbers for us.
Okay, so if I'm walking on the hill behind the park and I see a green tag.
Correct. Or if you're on vacation somewhere else.
Oh, and somewhere,
you see it. So that lets us know the range that they're covering, because initially, you don't know how far those birds go until you identify, with a tag or something. So, identify any tags you find. Also, if birds are attracted to pet food that's left outside, there's someone puts cat food outside. We've gotten a few tag numbers that way, where homeowners said pet food outside, and black vultures have taken advantage of it, and they're able to read the tag and send us pictures and so forth. So, if you could bring cat food in so that it's not going to attract it, becomes one. Report any damage that you're receiving to us so that we can make sure that we're providing services to that homeowner that has the, you know, the vultures picking away at the roof or, you know, other damage being caused.
Yeah, rubber parts of cars, windshield wipers.
Yep.
I had heard that they were partial to bear scat. Is there, are they partial to?
They are. I don't know why.
Dog poo or anything like that.
Bears eat a generally meat diet, so they could eat, you know, some of it. But yes, they are attracted to the bear scat at the zoo, at least.
Yeah. So, Mr. Christman, is there a way we can get some of those ideas into the township news? Yeah. Just to give the folks an idea, maybe they can do something to it.
Absolutely. Stay away from bear scat.
Yeah, stay away from bear scat. Yes, absolutely. All right, thanks, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Well, then, if there are no other questions or discussion, we can entertain a motion. So, yeah, well, all our computers are crashing. So,
okay, I'll make the motion here that this board authorize the township manager to execute an agreement with the USDA for the purpose of mitigating vulture activity in the township.
All right, motion made by Mr. Zamuda. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Corrado. Any questions or discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is E. It's the consideration of the second time extension for conditional approval of the final land development and subdivision plan for Hershey West End, final phase J. It's plat 1361. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This plan proposes the development of 336 apartments and 12 single-family attached units and townhouses. The board initially approved plat 1361 on December 6, 2022. The board did grant a first-time extension request on May 9th. The applicant has requested a second extension of time until July 1st of 2024 to address the remaining conditions of the May 9th, 2023 extended approval. The second extension request proposes no changes in the details to the previously approved plan or the waivers that were granted. I'm recommending that the board extend the approval of plat 1361 until July 1st of 2024, subject to the 13 items listed in my staff comments.
Questions for Mr. Emmerich.
Yeah, Chuck, what seems to be the issues?
Mr. Gall is here this evening.
Mr. Gall, I saw him sitting inside. Mr. Gall, what do the issues seem to be?
I don't think there's any issues. Yeah,
come on down.
I don't think there's any issues. As we said when we did this project, it's a long-term project. A lot of changes in terms of how things are going in terms of, you know, construction costs, interest rates, and just trying to, you know, figure out timing and just keep things going. It's not a problem with the project. Just mainly a timing issue. And we have, you know, we're intending to keep moving forward. Just taking longer to resolve some of those.
I've heard a couple of people ask me, what's going on with that? Why aren't they doing anything?
For years I got, why are we doing right. Anything now? Why we haven't done anything?
Yeah, no, so, that's exactly what I said. Okay, thank you.
Again, before you go, just so we, is there anybody else that has any questions? My only question is, assuming we grant this extension, do you anticipate, cause this one is to be extended to July 1st, 2024, so, you know, is it possible that you would be coming back in for another?
I don't think so, Chris. I think we'll resolve any issues we have, and I think you'll see other plans related to this project later this fall or spring. So it's there's a lot of moving pieces in terms of the what is this lot J? I think there's up to lot G. So we have other aspects of the project also moving forward. Yeah, we hear it. Wish I didn't have to ask for an extension, but it is, that is what it is.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? All right, then, if there are no questions, we can entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that the approval of the final land development and subdivision plan for Hershey West End, final phase J, plat 1361, is extended to July 1st, 2024, subject to compliance with items 1 through 13 in the departmental head recommendation section of this agenda item.
All right, motion made by Mr. Corrado. Is there a second? I'll second. Motion is seconded by Mr. Zamuda. Are there any questions or discussion? All right, hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. The next item is F. It's consideration of grant of right-of-way to PPL regarding electrical service to 150 West Chocolate Avenue and 156 West Chocolate Avenue. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
As the board is aware, TKS Hershey Realty LLC is proposing to renovate the property located at 150 West Chocolate Avenue for use as a Tika Shack restaurant. The restaurant will require new electrical service. PPL has reached out to the township for a right-of-way to install a new pole and transformer bank on the property that's owned by the township. The parcel contains some parking spaces that are subject to a parking agreement with the owner. The proposed pole location is depicted on the attached image that I made, so that's my doing there. Just to give you an idea of what it looks like, the PPL did provide plans, but basically the township, when they relocated Ridge Road, they purchased this entire property. So that's why they're seeking, Tika Shack is seeking, or actually PPL is seeking the easement to put the pole on the township's property. I'm recommending that the board authorize E. Christopher Abruzzo as chairman to sign the right-of-way to enable PPL to install the facility.
Just a quick question, Chuck. Do we, would the township require a payment to grant that easement?
They did not.
I mean, I'm just curious. I think between utilities, they don't, typically between utilities, they don't charge one another for the granting of an easement, I think. But I'm just wondering here, because this is the township property, and we're granting an easement to PPL to provide that electricity for this project. I'm just wondering if it's appropriate for us to consider, if you've done this in the past and you haven't charged it, I would not suggest you can change it.
When I reviewed this, I always looked at this as township public right-of-way because it was purchased for the street project. And if they were relocating the pole within the right-of-way, we wouldn't even be here. It's because it's owned a little bit differently. Basically, this land was built to rearrange or to realign the road.
Any other questions for Chuck?
Yeah, Chuck, a real quick question here. Is this going to interfere with DTMA's project, correct?
I wouldn't expect it to, but Ryan's actually familiar with that.
So I'm the project manager for Ridge Road. No, it's not going to have any impact.
Okay. Just a thought. Thank you.
That's why we had Ryan here.
That's it. He should always come.
Any other questions? If none, we can entertain a motion.
I'll offer a motion to the Board of Supervisors to authorize Chairman Abruzzo to sign the grant of right-of-way to enable PPL to install the facilities we just spoke about.
All right, motion made by Mrs. Nutt. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Zamuda. Any further questions or discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. All right, that concludes new business. The next item on the agenda is Supervisor Board Committee Reports. So we'll start with Mr. Zamuda and go to his right. Mr. Zamuda.
I will surprise you and say I have nothing.
There you go. All right, Mr. Corrado.
I will not surprise you and say I have nothing.
That's right. Mrs. Knight?
Deborah.
Mr. Wyckoff?
DTMA met on August 28th.
I was busy that night.
The board received budget tracking and financial outlook. Everything is according to plan. Construction contracts as well as engineering services and an update on the stormwater program. I think everyone is aware of all the stormwater upgrades. There was discussion of the stormwater fee. The board may remember was 2018, 2017 stormwater fee was instituted. So there was discussion of the board of how much that has generated, how much of the monies have been used for the various stormwater projects around town, and if and when the fee should be adjusted. So I'm sure the board will hear more about that when DTMA makes a recommendation. That's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Wyckoff. That concludes Supervisor Board or Committee reports. We'll turn to departmental reports and begin with the Chief.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The only thing I have is one of the two reports of the board that we received our Milo training system that we used the local gaming chair grant for. They are going to be setting that up, training our trainers with that, I think, next week. So hopefully we'll be able to incorporate some use of force and de-escalation training, get some officer trained up on that, and hopefully be able to assist some security agencies and so forth in the township as well to use that system.
Very good. Thank you, Chief. Mr. Sassanen.
I have nothing for this evening. Thank you very much.
All right. Good evening, Mr. Piccolo.
Good evening.
I see you're here sitting in for Mr. Clark.
Yes. Yes, I am.
Very good. Do you have a report from Public Works?
No report from Public Works. We did last week have a number of hazardous trees taken care of on Bullfrog Valley Road. That required some traffic work that we needed to get done so that they could get the tree work done. And we did ever put that in the e-news so the residents knew that was going to happen. But that was, we wanted to get that project done before winter. So that's finished now. So that's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
I have a quick question, if you don't mind, Bob.
Yeah.
Not that I've polished up and sharpened the rake just yet, but when does the truck typically start coming through?
The next month.
Okay.
Yeah, we're still a little bit away from
it. Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
The leaves are falling early this year. I had talked to an arborist about it because of the, you know, the hot, dry summer we had. They're dropping leaves early. So, I mean, I could fill a truck right now from my yard. So, yeah. And unfortunately, our sweeper is down right now for repairs that we would normally get some of those leaves that are out in the street right now. So, you know, but we are working on getting that back on the road so we can start getting after that without the leaf trucks.
Thank you.
It's on the website.
The grates on my street are filling up, and they're flooding down the road.
I'll tell the guys tomorrow. We'll get down there.
Yeah, I don't know if it's their. I don't think it's their responsibility. I think the homeowner should get in there and do that.
But we always do check them, especially if there's.
Yeah, it's both of them. The one they're right across the street from each other.
Okay.
Yep. Thanks.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Bob.
Yep, you're welcome.
From the library.
Just a quick reminder that the library is closed on Monday, September 18th. We're doing staff training, which is strategic planning. Very excited.
Mr. Jackson, Parks and Rec.
I had nothing to report from Parks and Rec tonight.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Cummings.
I had nothing to report tonight.
And Mr. Emmerich.
Nothing more, thank you.
And Mr. Christman.
Nothing to report. We have a question. Bob, is this the time of year we start seeing the spotted minor flies? I know that it starts showing up soon.
Yeah, but hopefully we're not going to be seeing them any more than what we have seen so far this year. They are in their adult stage right now, but they have been for a few weeks, more than a few weeks, probably a month. The experts are still trying to figure out why we're not seeing them around this year as much. They have moved out. I just read some things on Pittsburgh is polluted with them. So they're moving out and just becoming less here now. What happened in Berks County where the this all started. So hopefully we're going to see a evening out of it. And, you know, it's just like the stink bugs, you know, a few years they were horrible, and now it's not quite as bad. Hopefully that's what will happen.
I can add a completely non-legal comment to this. During the lockdown, the summer of 2020, my wife and I literally killed probably 20 a day each at our house. We haven't seen a single one. So I agree. I think they are. And we had a reservoir near us that year. We went kayaking, and they were literally covering every square foot of that reservoir. I could just crawl across them with my hands. There were so many, not a single one. So I think they are expanding out. I heard that birds have finally figured out, hey, we can eat these things. That's really knocked down the population. They've been around for a couple of years.
All I was going to ask, aside from that good news, is there anything that you want us to get out into the e-news that makes sense? Because it's this time of year, we want to help residents stay ahead of the spotted dragonfly curve.
Sure, we could put one of the newer articles from the Penn State Extension out. The good news is, last year and the year before, by this time I probably answered 50 phone calls. I don't have a phone call this year. So, and I have been out scouting, and it's nothing to even get excited about. So that's good.
That's good news. Thank you.
Can I add something to this, too? I've been doing a lot of reading on them, too. They're apparently on a 3-year cycle.
Okay.
This is the 3rd year, so that their population crashes. Whoever said it is correct that there appears to be predators now. Praying mantises, kissing bugs. you don't want to meet one. They're starting to find these tasty, and the birds apparently, some birds are starting to taste them too, and like them. They're also finding out that they're not as bad to vegetation as they originally thought, except for grapevines. They still love the grapevines. And unestablished trees, so like the smaller trees that are 1 or 2 years. But they're finding out that the larger established trees, there's generally no effect, little to no effect on them, even if they're heavily infested. So this might be just something we have to put up with, like COVID.
Thank you.
Yes. All right. Well, that'll take us to the next item on the agenda, our visitor public comment session. So is there anyone wishing to come forward at this time? All right, seeing as no one is coming forward, we will close the visitor public comment session. That leaves the last item on the agenda, adjournment. So we have a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Motion made by Mr. Zabuda. Is there a second?
I'll second
by Mrs. Nutt. All in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none.